And this is the interactive portion of the program where we take your phone calls. Our guest tonight, Stephen Quayle, and we'll be back with him and you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to our final hour with Stephen Quayle. The interactive portion, of course, we're going to take your phone calls with him as well. But Stephen, so many things are going on this planet, and you just seem to handle all of them. You do a marvelous job. In your opinion, the biggest issue facing all of us right now would be what? The wars, GMOs, the economy, trying to do away with us? What do you think it is?
Well, I think it ultimately is what do you really believe, and what do you have to fall back on? I'm talking now internally. I'm not talking stuff. I'm talking about being able, ultimately, at the end of the day, we all have faith. Either we have it in something, someone, or ourselves. We either have it in ourselves, in God, or someone else. And I think the overwhelming, I just got an email from Alaska, and this will answer, this will provide, how do you keep from going crazy? That's, they're asking me that, okay? It's one thing to know it when it happens in real time. It's another thing to know what comes next. And so the thing that keeps me safe and sane is simply is this. I'm not a religious guy, by the way, George. I'm kind of the most anti-religious guy in the world, but it's my relationship and my faith in Jesus, because I know what I was. I know all my faults, believe me. I look in the mirror and I wish so many things could have been different, but I also know this, that there's a wonderful thing called the love of God. And you and I've talked about this. If there's any expression missing on the planet right now, it's the love of God. People are absolutely forgetting that, there's a great commandment. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our strength, and all our might, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, number one, I'm not a pacifist, and number two, I'm not a warmonger, and I'm not a fan of what's going on in the world and all the senseless slaughter. So what the most important thing is going to boil down to at the end of the day, as whatever crises involve us or affect us, and as one of my friends said, Pastor David Langford, he said, look, you don't have to go looking for trouble. Trouble's coming to your doorstep in one way or another. You've got to have something or someone greater than yourself to believe in. I'll give you a good example. When you got the flu, there's nothing that you can do to help yourself except you just trust you're going to get over it. You do what you can take, or you do what you can do and stuff. But we're dealing with events now that have been prophesied for millennia. And people are looking to the aliens to save them, that somehow they're going to land in a spaceship or a base ship, and everything's going to be fine. But what's the price for that? And I think the bottom line is that I still go to the promises of God. God said that this stuff's going to happen, but he said, fear not. Jesus said, I'm with you even to the end of the age. And people, I get emails all the time, well, I was raised a Catholic, or I'm a backslidden this or backslidden that. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I don't belong to anything except this. I know this. I know that if he who told me what's going to be happening in advance and told me how to deal with it in him, then I'm going to, look, you've got to put your faith in somebody. As the old Bob Dylan song said, you got to serve somebody. And I think that the attack upon Jesus is a big neon sign. You can talk about anything, anyone, anywhere, any place, anytime. You can put any distorted or anything out there. But the one name that seems to be verboten, forbidden above all, is Jesus. So why is that? And again, you've got to ask yourself that. Even if you're an atheist, what did Jesus do that caused the whole world to hate him, except his believers? Yet what is it that he's saying? He's saying to basically love. There's no love in any other religion in the world. There isn't. There's phony, or there's sexual. And someday, if I had the time, I mean, if we did a show, and I'm not trying to be gross or anything, and I'm not trying to be titillating, but to understand the effect that giants have had in human sexuality and in human perversion is a study in itself. And I started to write a book on it, and I stopped, okay? Because
why?
I just thought, I didn't want to go there at this point. Because if people don't believe in the Genesis 6 account and the mythological accounts, I needed to stop. But in Xenogenesis, though, let me just share this. The entire robotic industry, and I remember talking with you about this, that the entire design criteria in some areas, not all, is to develop the perfect, if you will, Stepford wife, who is a robot that has real skin, real capabilities, and then to be able to share the sexual experiences of XYZ, famous person ABC, by downloading into this perpetual body that you'll get, that you can perpetually renew, and you don't have to worry about suspended animation or cryogenics, because when the old body wears out, you just basically clone a new one and download your whole collective subconscious. By the way, they're that'll just about there right now.
Yeah, that's going to happen right now. Yep. Let's take some calls here for you, Stephen, as they line up. Sherry in Kerrville, Texas. Hey, Sherry, get us started. Go ahead.
George, this has brought up something that has been on my mind a long, long, long time. Started in, I was a microbiology major at UT Austin back in the 80s.
Okay.
And you remember, George, when AIDS and then yuppie flu came out and then herpes virus, it wasn't just, you know, the herpes simplex, it just exploded,
yep.
You know. I have information that has never been published, and I talked with my professors. My father ended up dying of mononucleosis. This was 1 year after a heart transplant. Wow. Now, he was a physician.
I didn't know you could die from that. I guess you can.
Yes.
Huh?
Well, yeah, he did. Now, mononucleosis, chicken pox, and, you know, the herpes simplex.
Shingles.
They're all of those are grouped in the herpes virus realm because the way they replicate. It's just their systematic way of they replicate. So, okay, I'm taking immunology, virology, and public health bacteriology and all these things. And I would go home on the weekends, and, of course, my mom was an RN and my dad a physician, and they were back in the 50s in Dallas. He was going to Southwest Med School. Mom was at Methodist. And they remember using smallpox vaccines. Now, smallpox supposedly isn't even related to chickenpox or herpes simplex. That's what I was told by some of these professors. But my public health bacteriology, she wanted me to call CDC because there was an epidemic of chronic fatigue syndrome, and they called it yuppie flu, and it only hit people that were like 25 to maybe 45. It was just hitting that one group of people. And to this day, now I'm starting to wonder whether this was a natural evolution of what happened. But, okay, you've got herpes simplex, and some of these people would have it very bad. And they used smallpox vaccine to actually clear it up, and there were clinical trials. I have three people
did
that
it
I
work?
Talked to. It worked. And I said, well, what happened to the trial? And they said, I don't know. After like 6 or 8 weeks, they stopped. They never did it again. Huh. The trial stopped.
Maybe it worked too well, huh?
Well, the thing is, there's got to be some kind of cross-reactivity immunologically for it to work.
Well, let's bring in Stephen for a second here. Stephen, what do you know about the vaccines and the issues there?
Well, first of all, what the caller is explaining, it's my and I'm in writing about this, so I'm not just agreeing with her, but on CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, definitely a bio designer lab, if you will, agent. It's tested, and I'm sorry, ma'am, what's your first name?
It's Sherry.
Sherry. Sherry, you know, your dad having obviously had a heart transplant, I mean, he went through some pretty serious trying to get his health back and his immune system, but I maintain that, first of all, smallpox supposedly was done away with, and there were no existent strains of it in order to do what she's saying. We all know that's not true. I mean, everything that's out there. So when you get, it's almost like you have to use, sometimes you have to use one pathogen at the way it attacks a system to attack the underlying pathogen. And I'm not familiar with that, Sherry, so I can't speak to that. But I will say this, chronic fatigue syndrome and yuppie flu, I believe that was totally introduced to the American population through chemtrails.
Maybe so. Sherry, thanks for your call. First-time caller Keith in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the program, Keith.
Hey, thanks for having me, George.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to call briefly. First of all, I'd like to say that love is all you need. Follow your heart, first and foremost.
Beatles.
Furthermore, earlier in your program, I had heard, a very scary Orwellian thought of a mandate for a federal immunization. And I mean, Obamacare has literally almost got people on the verge of potentially falling into that need for federal immunization.
That's right.
And it's really scary that we're living in 1984 and 2014.
I don't think George Orwell would even imagine what's been going on now, but go ahead.
But I mean, for a man who was published in, 1949, he had quite the foresight.
Good insight.
But I'd also like to close out on the Ninth Amendment in the Bill of Rights. It's the enumeration that no law shall be construed to deny or disparage the rights retained by the individual or the state.
Perfect.
And that's it, George.
And Stephen, like so many people like Keith, they're beginning to wake up, aren't they? You must get that and hear that all the time.
Well, I'm getting a lot of thank yous where I used to get a word in front of you that didn't begin with thank, okay? and I'm trying to be very tactful. The point is that people are starting to wake up, but I am so opposed to vaccinations. You can go on YouTube and you can see the guys openly bragging about, the one doctor for, I think it was Merck and others. And unless you understand Operation Paperclip and all the Nazi scientists that were brought to the United States, pretty much assimilated into the scientific community, obviously one of the most famous being Dr. Wernher von Braun, but I mean, there were hundreds, and you understand vaccinations, the whole point of them. I believe that obviously what your caller is stating on the Ninth Amendment, you cannot, I came up with a statement, this is important, shot in the arm, shot in the head, either way they want you dead. And I remember when I was on Alex Jones's show, and we were literally praying about that. Remember when, and Alex allowed me to pray on the air because the whole country was under almost a forced going to a bio level 4 event where, we'd be under martial law for a virological reason. Do you remember that time period?
Yeah, it was almost like we were under siege. Remember?
Yes, and that's a great way to say it. And it made me so furious. That's when I the only thing I knew to do is call all the Christians to prayer and people to pray against it. And as quick as it came on the scene, within a matter of hours. Now, look, I don't care if anybody wants to argue. They're welcome to believe or not believe. But the point is, that was probably one of the most amazing miracles I saw of God's love for his people, and even the people that still don't know him yet, because do you remember how fast it dissipated? George, it went from almost a crescendo that there'd be troops on the streets to literally almost gone the next day. And the only thing I heard, and look, God, people have got to understand the whole basis of Christianity is relationship. I'm not trying to convert anyone. I'm just saying this, that was a demonstrable evidence that God answered the prayers of his people out of love for all. The vaccines are done by, all the programs for those things are funded by the people that hate mankind. And it was when Eustace Mullins was alive, he wrote a wonderful book called Death by Injection. And I still stand by that. I'm so furious that the government's trying to mandate this, mandate that, and it all ends up in our death. That's what I have the biggest problem with. The issues of the elderly being denied drugs. My chief complaint is of veterans being treated like not only third-class terrorists, but now as inhuman. And I categorically reject that 22 servicemen are taking their lives a day. I believe there are more than that dying a day, but I believe they're being helped a whole lot by people that are worried about what they were trained and what they can do. I'm sorry, I reject that that many people are dying by their own hand. I believe they are dying by someone else's hand.
All right, let's go to Jeff now at Culver City, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Hi, George and Mr. Quill. Yes, with all these simultaneous incidents occurring worldwide on a regular and frequent basis, it seems to me that these conflicts, many wars, and quote-unquote accidents, et cetera, seem to be planned by the various governments involved. It's almost as if these people have all gathered in secret to plan and implement these things. I don't believe in coincidences, Mr. Quill, but I'd like to know, you know, if you could expound on if you believe that all of these countries are working in secret and in concert together to bring about these tragedies for the primary purpose of reducing or eliminating the global population. And I'll take the answer off the air.
Well, number one, that's a great question. Number two, you get it. And absolutely three, I agree with you. The rulers of the world and the leaders, it's almost like they're on a chessboard, all playing on a multi-sided, multi-dimensional chessboard. And we're the, if you will, in their eyes, these are their words, we are the lab rats. The word zombie, and this is interesting, George, because we broke this on your show, too, a number of years ago. That word zombie was designed by the elite to define their contempt for everyone other than them, okay? The guys that are going into the bunkers with caviar and Dom Perignon and leaving the rest of the zombies to fight it out. Even the zombie virus, the idea of using a form of rabies, mixing it with Ebola, and absolutely infesting the brain and then turning people into the walking, the living dead, whatever you want to call them, that's all a bioengineer's, I would say this, ultimate desire is to be able to get everybody turned on everybody, and so they literally devour themselves. My prayer is that it backfires on them.
And it very well could, Stephen.
Yes, it could, because one of the things, it doesn't matter, even in the bankers, look, the bankers that are getting whacked, just like the scientists that were getting whacked, they were doing their job, but they didn't understand that there was someone behind the scene. It's the puppet master, not the puppets, that are the guys pulling the strings. So whatever you have that is designed to destroy mankind, I'm against. I'm just flat out against it. And it's like technology. I posted a story the other day out of one of the London newspapers, I think the Daily Mail Online. And I don't know if you saw it, George, but they showed the tank that's able to disappear, to cloak, to become invisible,
cloaking.
Okay?
That's right.
And so I remember when talking on the show, we were talking about some of the advanced stuff that can cloak now. So they've got that technology now.
Okay, we're going to come back with final calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're talking wizards, aliens, and starships, a classic Coast to Coast show. Let's come back in a moment and wrap things up and take some final phone calls with Stephen Quayle right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Stephen Quayle, with us. Your final phone calls as well. Fast night, Stephen. It always buzzes by with you, my friend.
Well, we cover a lot of territory, and, you know, again, we have the ability to only say so much to get as much information out as we can at the time we have.
How's our rock star daughter doing?
Well, she just, thanks for asking. I just talked to her today. She's got a new song out starting to hit the country radio stations. Steffi, it's called Sugar High, and it's really a great song. She's now, I really enjoy watching her, and her songs are developed, and really a great, great song. It, you know, obviously I've watched her from the time I bought her first guitar, and now she's out, and she's writing with some very, very well-accomplished, famous Nashville writers, and I'm glad that she's, you know, being able to express her talent. By the way, I told her I was on with you tonight, and she said, tell you hi.
Ah, yeah, she did. She moved to Nashville, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Well, that's good. So that's working out. I guess we expect great things from her, Stephen.
Well, she was raised around horses, and she's into riding horses and shooting balloons called cowboy action shooting, and she's pretty cute and she's getting really good. So I know my daughter. I guess we've got the female version of Wyatt Earp coming up.
Let's go to Robert in Memphis, Tennessee. Robert, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Coyle. While back, you ran with a story about a FEMA concentration camp being built in Mississippi. I just want you to know the Mississippi militia and other patriots scoured a good part of central Mississippi using everything we could think of to try to find it. It don't exist unless it has a cloaking device of some kind. And I don't mean to sound critical, but one of the things I think is more damaging than enemy misinformation is friendly misinformation. What steps do you take to ensure your sources are credible before you disseminate information?
That's a great question, and I try and get 2 to 3 independent, not known to each other people. Now, understand, when I post that stuff on my alerts, some of it, if it's critical, and as critical as I get it, I bounce it off a couple people, and a couple people that I've gone to that have been good. But look, like I said at the beginning of the show, I've been skunked before. And unfortunately, and let me share this about cloaking. I've literally had militia guys from another state tell me they watched a car drive onto a piece of property with game cameras, and absolutely no one got into that car and no one got out of it. It's all recorded and drive away. And then they said it's just as if it disappeared. The cloaking ability, and I'm telling you point blank, I can't vouch for everything firsthand. But I try, and I hope this answers your question. I've got to try and validate it and verify it through 3 independent sources. And I want to salute you guys for going out and checking. But it's just like that story I just told you. The guys provided the game camera videos, if you will, or actually it's on a micro card, a scan card. And the point is that no one went in, no one went out, and yet the car, you know, absolutely was there, driving, and then it disappeared.
Okay, next up, Cornelius goes. Alexandria, Louisiana. Hey, Cornelius.
Hey, George. Hey, Mr. Quayle. God bless both of y'all. Look, my question is, with this time frame that you got, with the 4 blood moons and Jonathan Cahn's Harbinger, do you think we're close to this Third World War? And I'll take my answer off the air, and God bless both of y'all.
Well, the 4 blood moons, signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth, the stress of nations, that's what's going on. I do believe Jonathan Cahn's Harbinger is absolutely accurate. I know one of the women who's passed away now, Sue basically Bradley, that did the original work on all of the prophecies, and the point is that I believe we're so close. I thought I covered it, but it's one misstep at this point. And what I'm worried about, as the belligerence increases, putting financial sanctions on Russia, that's like a dumb thing to do. I think de-escalating is the way to deal with that. And again, I think that we're probably on the economic front. I think we're 30 to 90 days from, and I'm not talking about a total meltdown, but I'm talking about events now transpiring. And concurrent with that, I believe all truth is parallel. I believe as we're going to see the earthquakes, they're increasing. I think what's interesting, and no one else is writing about this, and I have been, I put up an alert on the 28th, that as the earthquakes increase, the monster quakes, which I guess Standale was talking about and others are talking about, and I didn't hear them tonight, but the point is, on the 28th, I said, what disturbs me is every time there are monster quakes, then the paranormal sightings seem to increase. And that's and when I wrote the book True Legends, talking and interviewing with the different people I did and other people interviewing people for me for that, people in the field, the point is that it seems, George, that there is an expectation in the Native American cultures of great evil coming as the earth shakes. And that's why I quoted that scripture. Isaiah 14:9 literally says that hell from beneath is moved at thy coming. And that is basically can have a twofold meaning. One, that that as the war in heaven rages on, and the book of Revelation says that literally Satan gets thrown out of the second heaven onto earth, well, people who don't believe in the devil will really have a hard time to accept this. Yet, as they don't believe in the devil, Hollywood is playing its hand that they do believe in the devil. So the point is that equivalent or equal to the earthquakes and all of the signs, the signs in the sun, moon, and stars, I believe that with evil men electromagnetically using different forms of energy that are hidden even to the average scientist, they're going to release all these things that have been imprisoned and being kept out of our dimension, out of God's love for his creation. That's, I guess, the only way I can say it.
Okay, let's go to McMinnville, Oregon. I'll be there, by the way, in May for an event, I believe, somewhere around there. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hi George.
Kathy. Hey.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, okay. Okay. This is wild. I can't believe it. Every single thing that people are talking about that are, like, going to happen, like, I'm predicting, I see things, George. I don't know how to explain it to you. I guess I'm psychic. I don't know. I didn't know I was, but apparently I am. Because it was like I was saying, I could close my eyes and see stuff.
What
well,
do you see?
I have to close my eyes. I see things, and I see bridges going down in Portland, Oregon. We're going to have a massive earthquake. And I've got all the symptoms of people that have this, apparently you have like sensitivity.
Ringing. Yep, ringing and like, pressure in your ears and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm worse than that. I'm under treatment, and they haven't been able to figure out what's wrong with me. I mean, they did a CAT scan to check my brain to see if I'd had a stroke because of the pain of the headaches. I have all of the symptoms.
And then it goes away after the event occurs. You know, Steve, Stan Deo, of course, would be right all over this, but I suspect he thinks a big one's coming too, doesn't he?
Well, he does, and I just got an email from one of my friends who listened to him tonight. And basically, Stan is even advising that he thinks in the next 30 to 90 days, it's going to get very, very difficult, and that the big one is coming. He's advising people to consider relocating away from the coast.
Now, is this based on things he sees? You know how he reads those charts?
Yeah, he does. Stan is more than welcome to speak for himself, but I'm just telling you what's being repeated to me secondhand. And based on what he said on Doug Hagman's show, that basically he's very, very worried. Here, I'll read it word for word because it's germane, okay?
Sure.
From my friend, B. He was extremely concerned about the West Coast volcanoes and earthquakes to the point of letting people know to consider relocating if they can, and to be aware of roads, maybe buy maps, to need to get out of the area of the coast by car or on foot. Keep water in the bathtub, and the tub is not used, so it can be filtered through a Berkey if it's needed. Also extremely concerned about the New Madrid, especially in light of the work of the U.S. in regard to Israel being split. You know, there are prophecies that when
prophecies,
the United States splits
right.
Israel, guess what? We get split in the U.S. Navy map, and then remember Gordon Michael Scallion's famous map.
And Lori Toy and Edgar
yes,
Casey.
Absolutely. By the way, Edgar Casey, one of the prophecies he made is there's a place in Bozeman, Bozeman is the Gallatin Valley, but the next valley over, Paradise Valley, that goes into Yellowstone Park, he said that that area would feed the rest of the world, or what's left of the world, and that the western boundary of Montana would be seashore.
All right, let's go back to the calls. We go to Andrew in Turlock, California. Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, George, long-time listener.
Thank
you. And greetings to your guest.
You too.
My question for you is on the trumpeting that people are hearing everywhere, do you think that's a false flag by the New World Order, or do you think it's part of the, let's say, heavenly beings that are trying to help us for the good?
Well, I think it's both, because Project Bluebeam and the ability now to use sound wave weapons, Defense Secretary Cohen talked about microwave weapons and sound weapons being used. I think it's both. I think, obviously, it's not a barge in a landlocked, and I think that that the sounds are dimensional doors are opening. And here's a good way to explain it. There are certain sounds that basically sound to me like they're very old, like I'm talking from antiquity, hinges opening. So I think you've got multiple sounds, and the trumpeting of the seven trumpets, I've said this on Coast to Coast before with George, I said, I think people think that the seven trumpets in the book of Revelation will sound like Louis Armstrong. I don't think so. I think that the sounds and the frequencies are so unnerving that some of them originate in heaven. Now, we know that when the Antichrist, the person, comes on the scene, that he'll be able to work miracles. So I'm saying I think that the technology exists to broadcast incredibly and extremely loud sounds, but I believe they're both, and that's where discernment comes in. And quite candidly, I can't say this one's heavenly and this one's earthly, or this one's the Illuminati and this one's God.
Let's go to first-time caller Aaron in the state of Washington. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Hello. Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
And I agree with you a lot, and I think, you know, maybe some of these people coming up missing all the time will be found by the false prophet and some cloaking device by Nikola Tesla, you think? And
Well, Tesla's long since gone, so he's not going to be able to help
many. But his technology, his stuff, you know, top secret security, NSA stuff.
Yeah, if they ever let it go, I think they're hiding it.
Well, yeah, they're not going to let us have it. It's for them. It's what they're going to do for the false prophet that's going to be coming. And, you know, the fathers aren't going to know them, and so, you know, disasters and stuff, like you said, they might be waiting. As soon as this goes, I've emailed you before about Yellowstone going and the Mideast all going through.
Well, yeah, and I don't believe Yellowstone's going. I think that, you know, and I would just ask you, you know, to basically, you know, every super volcano, it's just like literally, I remember when Banda Aceh was going to happen, and Stan and I were on with George talking about the Macquarie Island quake, and it was absolutely super deep. There's no indication that Yellowstone's going to blow except a bunch of people, and I don't apologize for this statement, who, number one, have never been there. Number two, are looking at 650,000-year-old records. Number three, don't understand how many thermal vents, don't understand the pressure in some area is diminishing. By the way, George, there was an article. Again, a scientist said that Yellowstone may never blow again. Did you see that article?
Let's hope that's true.
Yeah, and so what I'm saying is, look, I'm on the edge of it, literally, and my goal would be to give people a head. Now, can something happen? Of course, but I'm strategically placed, and every time the hysteria builds on Yellowstone, I basically get my little butt in a helicopter and get down there. I take my photographic stuff. I'm so familiar with it. And again, after 40 years of knowing the thermal features and watching, and I watch animal behavior too. So when the article came out on Drudge about the bison, that's not unusual. The only reason that it was even relevant is because they had a 4.8 earthquake. But the two don't fit the history of the bison leaving the park. People don't want the bison to leave the park because then they're worried about them getting shot by hunters. And now the state of Montana, in conjunction with the federal government, is looking for a rancher that'll take the 135 bison head, which I think is a good idea, and literally, you know, keep them alive. But there are multiple effects, number one being it's a horrible winter in Yellowstone, and the snow in some areas where the bison normally roam, I mean, we don't even see the bison. They're not there. The snow is too bloody deep.
If you were to see problems at Yellowstone, Steve, what would it be? Increased earthquake activity? What would be signs?
Well, that's what would get me down there. But again, I'd be picking up, people would be picking up the phones. One of the things you'd start to see is ice melt in Yellowstone Lake. You'd start to see dormant geysers going off, long dormant. You start to see new areas. The area I'm going to, if you want to go on my website, ladies and gentlemen, stevequayle.com, and you go on the photos, I think 2014, I posted an aerial shot of Norris. Norris Geyser Basin is the area where the magma in Yellowstone Park is closest to the ground. There was a panic a number of years ago, George, that the ground temperature, and it did get hot enough to melt tennis shoes, and you would see the beginning of cracks and fissures. In other words, you're going to see volcanic magma. It would be in Norris first, okay? Mm-hmm. And again, I have seen none of that, and I was just there 7 days ago.
Let's squeeze in one quick one here. Robert and Joplin have got about a minute. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, Mr. Quill, I'm a Christian. I have a brain tumor. I'm disabled. I'm on pain medication. When this collapse happens, how can I survive?
Well, number one, are you on a computer? Do you have a computer?
Yes.
Will you email me, you know, and just put brain tumor? Because I'd like to, you know, give your name to people I know that are praying intercessors. I can only say this. Everybody will survive, first and foremost, by the grace of God, the miraculous intervention of God, and also by doing what they can do. In your case, you've got some strikes against you, but I also believe, and I've seen it with my own eyes, so this isn't an empty promise. I've seen people in very difficult, near-death experiences have those things healed. So that's what I'll pray for you, and that's not a half-assed forgive the language prayer. That's a genuine prayer, and I know people who are dedicated intercessors who I'll ask them to pray for you. So send me an email, okay?
And we can do that through your website, Steve?
Yeah, just steve777 at stevequayle.com.
Okay, very good. Steve, we are out of time. Thank you so much. Good luck with this book, Xenogenesis. You really have done a remarkable job on this one.
Well, thank you, George. And again, it's only available on my website. God bless everyone. Thank you.
Stephen Quayle, for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.